I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3 is our text. The little prophet Habakkuk, the little book of Habakkuk. He's considered one of the minor prophets only because his book is small, only 3 chapters. Certainly there's nothing minor about his message. Habakkuk chapter 3, I think this is a few verses that most of us are quite familiar with, but we're going to read them this morning because the Lord's had a message on my heart for some time, and I'd like to share it today. Habakkuk 3, I've titled my message, Choose Joy. Choose Joy. Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, in spite of all of that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't know what you'll do. But here's what Habakkuk says. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Some versions translate it, I will shout in the God of my salvation. How can you do that when all of this adversity has come against you? How can you rejoice in the Lord? How can you shout in the God of your salvation? Well, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. That's how I can do it. The Lord God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He'll give me the legs of a gazelle. You know, a gazelle, man, they can run like a bullet. They can escape from the predator, escape from their enemy. He says, He'll make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Then he ends it with this statement, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. In other words, sing this. This is a song, guys. Let's sing it. Let's sing it from our hearts. Though the fig tree shall not blossom. Now, how dependent were they on figs? Quite dependent. This was a main food source, the fig cakes and so forth. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the vineyards, the grapes, devastated, destroyed. He says, the labor of the olive shall fail. No olives? No olive trees? You know, the Bible speaks frequently about the olive and the olive tree. This was not only a food supply, but their energy source because they burned the oil. No olive? Not only that, but the fields will yield no meat. What happened to the herds? Well, in the rest of the book, you find out the Babylonians were knocking at the door. And, you know, it was the habit of the Babylonians or whatever enemy would spoil the surrounding nations. Whatever they didn't themselves eat, these armies, these marauding armies, whatever they didn't eat, they destroyed. They would burn fields. They would eat cattle. What they didn't eat, they would take away. Or what they didn't take away, they would just butcher. They would leave conquered nations devastated, depleted of food supply. They would eat the fields. Or what they didn't eat, they would carry away. What they didn't carry away, they burned behind them. They left starvation, rape, deprivation, destruction. They left people in a state of absolute famine. He says, the flock cut off from the fold. Not only are there no flocks out there, no cattle, no sheep out in the fields, but they so depleted, they so devastated, they so stripped the fields and the animals that there's not even a calf left in the stall, not a calf in the barn. When you have absolutely nothing Everything that you counted on, everything that you worked for, everything you labored for, everything you saved up for your whole life. Remember, they measured their wealth in an agricultural society. You measure your success, your prosperity, your wealth in your cattle, your fields, your herds. That was your success. That was your wealth. When everything is gone, everything is gone, Habakkuk could say, yet, in spite of all of this, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. He chose joy. I choose joy. You know, you have a choice. We all have a choice. You can choose sadness. You can choose to be melancholy, morose. You have a choice. You can choose. You can choose at difficult times. In times of trial and tragedy, you have a choice. In times of loss, here's what Habakkuk says. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will. That's what I will do. That's the right choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I find my joy in the God of my salvation. If your joy is in your things, then you're not going to have much joy. If your joy, your peace, your security is in what you own, well, Katrina taught us. It taught us that you're not going to have much joy because one blow of the wind can take away everything that you have. It can take it all away. Habakkuk says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, the Lord God is my strength. What is our strength? I think that's a good question. What is our strength? What is it that makes us feel strong, safe, secure, happy? Is it what you own? Can you look at your things and say, you know what? I've done pretty good for myself. I feel pretty safe and pretty secure. I've got a decent home. I've got a decent automobile. I've got a decent job. I've got some money in the bank. I've got a few investments here and there. All is well with my soul. Katrina taught those of us who live in the Gulf South that nothing is safe. Nothing is safe. Wildfires in the West should have taught them they're not safe either. People who live in the forest, people who live in these beautiful homes in the woods, the forests catch on fire and burn down their houses. The people who live on one coast, their houses shake with earthquakes. Just day before yesterday, the West Coast shook. Just a portent. These are all just birth pangs. Volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, hurricanes. People in the Midwest had to wake up with hundreds of tornadoes, more tornadoes than they've ever counted in any particular season. Is there any place on earth that it's safe to live? Under the shadow of the Most High. That's right. One place only where it's safe to live. There is no place to run. There is no place to hide except in the Lord. In the Lord there is safety, in the Lord there is peace. Does that mean, if you are a believer, that you can't suffer devastation and loss? Well, you see, if we didn't know by personal experience, we could say, look at Habakkuk. He's a godly man, a prophet of the Lord, anointed, inspired by the Holy Ghost, a writer of Scripture. A man who preached to his nation, who warned them, who called upon them to repent. But you know, when the evil suffer the judgments of God, you know the righteous often suffer with him. When Babylon conquered Israel, you know godly people went into captivity as well. The good, the righteous, the godly. Those who served the Lord, those who prayed, those who were truly pious, they were carried off into captivity into Babylon just as well. They suffered the oppression of the Babylonians, or later, in the time of the Lord, the captivity of the Romans. here's a, I believe, an important question for you and me. Habakkuk says, the Lord God is my strength. He's my strength, my source, my supply. He is my security. He is my safety. What do we need for our strength? What is it that comprises our strength? And here's yet another question I'd like to ask, because I think this is important too. In spite of the loss of all of this, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy. Or I will shout in the God of my salvation. He can have joy. He can rejoice in the midst of all of this. The question I would ask is, what do you need to make you happy? What do you need to make you happy? What does it take? I mean, really and truly, we can say, well, the Lord is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. It's easy to sing. But I'm going to tell you what one dear sister told me right after Hurricane Katrina, when she lost everything that she had. Everything that they owned was 15 feet underwater. And then her husband left her. She said, you know, I used to sing, He's All I Need. But now I find out that He really is all I need. He's all I have. We can sing, He's all I need, but you know what? You find out when He's all you have, whether He really is all you need or not. Easy to say the words. Habakkuk got a chance to live it. Some of us had a chance to live it. What do you need to be really happy? I mean, really, really and truly, ask yourself to be joyful. If you lost everything that you had, could you say like Habakkuk, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Still, in spite of it all, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. What do you need to be safe? What do you need to be secure in this world? What makes you feel safe? The fact that you can lock yourself up behind iron bars, or keep a gun under your pillow, or you have the police force on the speed dial on your phone, or you're behind burglar alarms. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong or evil or any such thing, but is that really our safety? Nothing like that would have kept out the Babylonians. Nothing like that would have kept out Katrina. What do you need? Here's another question. What do you need to have confidence and hope for the future? What do you need to have hope for the future? Can you look at your bank account and say, well, you know what? I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. Pretty soon I'm going to have enough money saved up, or enough savings, or enough investments, and things are getting better at work. What does it take for you to feel hopeful for the future, confident in the future? Do you think you could have hope for the future if, like Habakkuk, you lost everything you had? Well, some of you lost everything too, and you have an idea of what that might be like. Of course, actually, truly, I don't think we went through it as bad as Habakkuk did. Because while we lost our stuff, we didn't lose our nation. We didn't lose our nation. Our nation wasn't crushed by an oppressive enemy. We weren't carried off into captivity. We did lose stuff, homes, whatever, properties, things. But, you know, in spite of what we lost, and in spite of what Habakkuk lost, you know, things can always be worse. I like his words here. In spite of it all, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet, even with all of this devastation, destruction, loss, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I choose joy. I choose to rejoice. I choose. What is that speaking, you think? It's faith speaking. I choose to trust the Lord who is faithful to look after His own. In spite of terrible circumstances, I will trust the Lord. And, I think if we're going to choose joy, I think we ought to know what it is. The Bible mentions joy over 300 times in the Bible. I bet you didn't know that, Sister Joy. The Bible talks about you. The thing is that people who trust the Lord ought to be a joyful people. We should be a joyful people, not morose and sad and melancholy. That's not what should characterize the people of God. Look, who could say something like this that Habakkuk said? I've lost everything. No fields, no flocks, no herd, not a calf in the stall. Olive tree failed, vine failed, fig tree's gone. No food, no means of support. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Who can say that? Only a crazy person or a Christian. Only a crazy person who has no concept of life or anything else, or a Christian who has this deep, abiding confidence that his God is in control, that his God reigns, and that his God is going to look after him or her, him or her. I think if we're going to have joy, we need to know what it is. Praise God. Biblical joy. Listen to this definition from Webster's. This is a definition of joy from Webster's dictionary. Good fortune. Think that's what joy is? You're right. That's not what it is. Well, here's the second definition they had. Prosperity. That's what the dictionary said joy is. Good fortune, prosperity, and here's a third one, a satisfying or pleasurable experience. If that's what joy is, Habakkuk didn't have it. Because he certainly didn't have a satisfying or pleasurable experience. He certainly didn't have prosperity. Everything he had was lost. And he certainly didn't have what the world would call good fortune or good luck. Right? You see, the world's concept of joy is really something that I guess they call happiness. Just happiness. Happiness is similar in some ways to joy, but it's not the same. You see, happiness is tied to our emotions. Happiness, in this sense, being tied to our emotions, it can change with the wind. It can be up and down like a yo-yo, according to what our circumstances are at the time. So happiness can come quickly, but it can leave just as quickly. They had a great cartoon in the newspaper yesterday. I actually cut it out and brought it. Now I don't know what I did with it. But it was a great little cartoon from the Dilbert column. You ever read Dilbert? He's a little office worker. He's got a cup of coffee, and he's talking to one of his coworkers, a real nerdy-looking guy. And he tells his coworker, he says, I just got promoted to lead engineer. And his coworker looks at him and says, me too. And so Dilbert says, wow, buzzkill. You know, he was so happy. I'm lead engineer. I'm thrilled. But then his little co-worker says, yeah, me too. I'm lead engineer too. He says, well, that's a real killer of, all your excitement. And so his friend says, yeah, right back at you. And then the next column, they show the boss, you know, the one who gave him this promotion. The boss is talking to the evil Catbert. You'd have to read the cartoon to keep up with that. But he's talking to his evil cat, and he says, the boss says, if you think about it, all motivation is temporary. Well, I guess because I had this particular message on my mind, I thought about how that equates or correlates to, you know, the world's concept of happiness. A person is happy for a minute, but that happiness runs out like a sieve when the circumstances change. I mean, he's all happy. I'm happy. I'm lead engineer. But so is he. There went his happiness. How happy is that child when you give them that new toy? They want it. They cry for it. They throw a tantrum in the store for it. And so mama finally breaks down and buys it. And they are happy until they get to the car. And then they've lost their happiness because, you know, something else has caught their attention. But isn't that the way people tend to be? Happiness is fleeting. It's temporary. It's just for a moment. The wife is happy. Her husband has been nice to her. He has complimented her. He complimented her hair. He brought her flowers. She's thrilled. But the next day, he ignores her. The next day, he's like a stump on a log. She talks, he don't answer. Now she's upset with him. She's angry. Happy one day, sad the next. What changes? Circumstances change all the time. People change. Happiness can go up and down like a yo-yo. Happy, happy, happy I got whatever this new thing is. But you get a new car, happy. Until somebody slams their door into it in the parking lot and all your happiness just runs out. And I see people, you know, the football games. You see people, they don't wear a shirt in the winter. They paint their stomach the color of their favorite team. And they are shouting and screaming. They are so happy when their team wins. But how long does that last? Well, if you're a Saints fan, it don't last a whole lot. But at the most, and then, you know, your fortunes, your happiness, your joy, it rises and falls like the tide. But look, that's not like joy. You see, biblical joy is an altogether different thing. Joy abides. Joy remains. Joy runs deep. It's internal. It's not external. Joy is not dependent on our circumstances. We don't require good things to happen to us in order to have joy. Joy abides. Joy remains. Joy runs deep. Joy is not something that happens to us from the outside. Joy is something that arises within us from the inside. It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on what's going on at the moment. And it's not temporary. It's not changeable. You know, like motivation or happiness. It's just for a moment. No, joy abides. You consider Habakkuk's joy. You consider it. I mean, all things considered, he should have been a pretty miserable fellow. He just lost everything he had. Joy shouldn't be even in his vocabulary. Upset, angry, discouraged, dismayed, depressed. Maybe that would be in his vocabulary. He just lost everything. His nation is surrounded by the Babylonians. They're about to be captured, crushed, driven off into captivity. Everything they own is going to be lost. Furthermore, Habakkuk is a prophet of God, and prophets of God have fallen on hard times in a backslidden nation. His people, his nation, were given over to idolatry. He was an unpopular fellow preaching an unpopular message. Nobody wanted to hear what Habakkuk had to say. He got doors slammed in his face, people scoffing at him, laughing at him. He's preaching an unpopular message. He's an unpopular man. He's living in a nation about to be crushed. He's losing everything he owns. He says, "Yet I joy in the Lord." His nation had turned their backs on Israel's God. God gave him a message of doom to preach, a vision of the future. God said, all that the people need, all that they depend on and rely on is going to be removed. The fig tree, the vineyard, the olive trees, the crops, the fields, the cattle, the wheat, the grain, all gone. The Babylonians would take it. So extensive would be the destruction that not a calf would be left in the stall. In fact, when Habakkuk had this vision, I want you to look back up with me to verse 16. I want you to see how shaken he was by this vision that God gave him. Verse 16 says, "When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones." What did he mean by that? Well, you know, your bones, that's the strongest part of your body. And when they're rotten, they just collapse. It's like Jell-O. You have no skeleton. You just collapse like a heap. You know, a person who just has an overwhelming, like, terror or fear. This is what he's describing. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself. He couldn't even stand up. He shook. This vision was so awful, so terrible. And as bad as it was, as much as he lost, do you know, still, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Even for us, when we went through this terrible Katrina and lost so much, we kept reminding ourselves it could be worse. It could be worse. How could it have been worse? Well, it could have been worse if you'd have lost your loved ones. It could have been worse if you lost your life. You know, as it was, we lost our stuff, but we didn't lose our lives. We didn't lose our loved ones. They all survived. Now, some people can't say that. Some people lost loved ones. And some 1,800 or so across the Gulf Coast lost their lives. But, you know, here's something else that I would like for us to think of this morning. Because there's something worse, much worse, far worse than losing everything. Losing your stuff, even losing your independence as a nation. Because Habakkuk lost that as well. There's something worse. I'm talking here about losing your faith and your confidence in God. Do you know that that's the greatest loss of all? If you lose your faith and your confidence in God, if you lose everything else, but you have Christ, then you still have all you need. And you have all that you'll ever need. You have salvation, forgiveness. You have His exceeding great and precious promises. You have His peace, even in the midst of storm and trial. You have access to the throne of grace through prayer and faith, and you have hope. If you have Christ, even if you've lost everything else, you have hope. Hope for the future, not despair. You see, that's joy. A firm, settled, resolute, concrete hope. Hope for the present and hope for the future. Habakkuk's joy, verses 18 and 19. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. What a confession. When all is lost, he says, I choose joy. Now look, beloved. Every one of us goes through trial and trouble of some kind, adversity of some kind. When marriages fail, when businesses collapse, when investments are lost, when the bank forecloses, when our health fails, you know, it would be easy for us to just be swallowed up in a black hole of sorrow and despair. And that's exactly what happens to the heathen who have no hope. Those without Jesus Christ, those without hope, those without peace, when they lose their things, their security, maybe their marriage, their finances, their business, their home, whatever, when they lose these things, it's like they lose all heart. They lose their minds. They lose their hope. They lose their reason for living. God told Hosea, you don't have to turn there, but there's an interesting passage in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 11 where Hosea prophesied to a backslidden people, a people who had abandoned God and found their joy and their happiness in wine, women, and song. This is what God said, Hosea 2:11. He said, I will also cause all her mirth to cease. I will cause all their mirth to cease. All their happiness, their joy, what they think is joy and happiness. God says, they laugh now, but they won't laugh long. You know, they're enjoying the world and all of its allures and all of its sensuality. Throw themselves into the pursuit of pleasure and carnal happiness and gratifying themselves. They laugh now, but here's what God says, they won't laugh long. They laugh now, but they won't laugh long. I will cause all of their mirth to cease. Now, what a difference. You see, the joy of the wicked ceases when trials and afflictions and troubles come. They lose their comfort. They lose their security. They lose their possessions. They lose their things, lose their stuff. They lose their minds. What a difference. What a difference for Habakkuk. You see, this is our example. Our joy runs deep, beloved. Our joy runs deep. The old timers, some of the old theologians said about this passage we just read here in Habakkuk, that this passage contains the most beautiful exhibition of the power of true religion to be found in the Bible. The most beautiful exhibition of the power of true faith to be found in the Bible. Here's a man who lost everything, everything. And yet he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Beloved, here's what I would remind us all of. Our joy runs deep. It doesn't run on the surface. It is a settled and abiding possession. It is joy that triumphs even over the darkest circumstances of life. Our joy runs deep. Job said in Job 35:10, God gives us songs in the night. Songs in the night. We used to sing a song about that. He will give you songs in the night. Now, what do you think that's talking about, that God gives songs in the night? Well, the night represents those deep, dark nights of great trial and great affliction and great adversity. You know, in the busyness of the day, when you're going through a real pressing, a life-threatening trial or adversity, when you're going through these deep, dark, you know, valley of the shadow of death trials. During the day, you can keep your mind busy. There are lots of things you can do, occupy your thoughts, you know, you're doing things. And so you kind of keep all of those things in the back of your mind just by staying busy. But in the night, when everybody's asleep and you're alone with your thoughts, alone in the dark, in your bed, that's when the fears can really try to assail you. That's when the enemy tries to shoot those poisoned darts at you to just get you fearful and anxious and terrified and depressed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's during those dark nights when you feel like you're all alone. It's just you. Just you. See, during the day, you've got a friend here, you call a brother or a sister, they pray with you, they encourage you. But in the middle of the night, in those deep nights when you're going through the very, valley of the shadow of death, that's when the attacks can be the fiercest. Job says, God, our God, gives us songs in the night. He gives us songs in the night. The idea is, hey, He is our peace. He'll give you something to sing about. You'll just sing. That's the time to worship. That's the time to pray, to praise, to honor the Lord. When fear tries to assail and rob you of your peace, when you can feel the very breath of Satan breathing down your neck, the Bible says He gives us songs in the night. He gives us songs. Even in the darkest hour, God gives us songs in the night. Songs that come from that deep well of our hearts. where faith arises and causes us to sing and to shout. Look, keep your finger right here, but turn with me to Psalms 42. Keep your finger right here. We're coming right back. This is King David's experience. He talked about this very thing. Psalms 42. Y'all running with me? All right, Psalms 42. Let's read a verse or two over here. Verse 7. He says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." This is poetic language. He said, "Sorrow is pouring over me like a waterfall." You have to have these experiences to know what he's talking about. But if you live for very long, you will. "Sorrow pours over me like a waterfall," he says. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And look, and in the night his song shall be with me." He gives us songs in the night, in the deepest, darkest hour of trial and adversity. When it looks like the devil and the world is closing in, when it seems like there is no hope, he gives us songs in the night. Excuse me. I should know better than to shout. Excuse me. "In the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Songs in the night. How about the Psalm of Asaph? Psalm 73. Look with me over here. Psalm 73 in verse 2. Hear his cry. He says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. It was almost over for me." Then look with me over to verse 23. "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He says in verse 28, "It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." I've put my trust in the Lord God. Where is our trust today? How about this for an example of songs in the night? How about Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail? Arrested, falsely accused, tortured, beaten, locked in a cage, shackled to a floor, threatened with death itself. And the Bible says, Acts 16 and verse 25, at midnight, they sang praises to God. At midnight, battered, beaten, bruised, torn, threatened, in jeopardy of losing their life itself, the Bible says, at midnight, they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Songs in the night. They sang, beloved. They didn't weep. They didn't complain. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They didn't threaten their jailers. They didn't say, "God's going to get you guys for this. You just wait and see." They sang songs in the night. That's the voice of faith. That's the voice of confidence that no matter what, no matter what we go through, God will see us through. No matter what we go through, God will see us through. Back in Habakkuk, look here with me. Habakkuk 3. "In spite of it all," he says, "I will rejoice." Verse 18. "I will rejoice. I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I'll rejoice. God is not only the source of my joy, he is my joy. God Himself is my delight. You know, this speaks to me and tells me that the Lord is to be our joy. Not just the source of our joy, He is our joy. That means we find our joy in our relationship with Him. In our relationship with Him, that is our joy. And that means that everything we do that revolves around that relationship with Christ, that is joyful to us. That means prayer to the believer is a joy and not a drudgery. That means when we worship, when we sing and we worship, that is a joy and a delight. That's not just something we try to get through on Sunday morning. This is our opportunity to express our love and devotion to the Lord. You know, the song service, we talk about it as a song service or a music service or whatever. We're not here just to take up time. We're not here just to sing a few songs. This is a time of worship and praise. Look, we need to be people who enjoy worshiping the Lord. If you don't enjoy it here, what are you going to do for eternity? We should enjoy entering into His presence with thanksgiving, singing, worshiping, expressing our devotion to Him, our thankfulness to Him, expressing our awe to Him. If we don't have this joy now, what will we do in heaven? He is our strength. Look, the Lord God is my strength. He's my strength. Can I tell you that this applies to every area of your life? He's your strength in our battle against temptation, in our battle against sin, in our struggle against the flesh. He's our strength. We can't do this in our own strength. He's our strength for that battle. He's how we overcome, by putting our trust, our confidence in Him. But not only that, He's our strength when it comes to these times of great adversity and affliction. He's our strength. We're not sufficient for this. We can't carry this load. There are burdens that are just too great for a camel to carry, let alone us. We can't carry these burdens. But, you know, He tells us to cast our burdens on the Lord. He's our strength. Can I tell you something else I've found as a pastor? That the Lord is my strength, even when it comes to our service of Him. When it comes to serving God, we don't have the strength in and of ourselves. We don't. We can't look to our own talent and abilities. We can't look to our own resources. We have to find our strength for service in the Lord. Because when you choose to serve the Lord in any capacity, do you know that many discouragements come against you? Many things occur to try to get you to quit, to give up, to think it's not worth the struggle. Well, even during those times, the Lord is our strength. He gives us the strength to overcome, to love people who don't always act lovable. Right? To not get in the flesh and so forth. He will always give us the strength we need. And then, for those who trust Him, verse 19, He says, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. This is a really dramatic picture of a deer or a gazelle that can escape the predator, escape the hunter in the blink of an eye. In a second, they're gone. That gazelle can run and run straight up a mountain, almost up a cliff. Get them out of reach of the hunter's arrow or the lion or bear's paw. The idea is the Lord will keep us safe from our enemies. Amen. That's the picture that He paints. He'll give me the feet of a gazelle that can escape. You know, He promises us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able. But He will make a way of escape. He'll make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Well, He says here, He's going to give me the feet of a deer, the feet of a gazelle that can run almost up the sheer cliff to escape from its enemies, to escape the hunter's arrow, the bear's paw. God will keep you safe, beloved. That's his point. He'll keep you safe. He'll give you a place of safety. And not only that, but he says, he'll make me to walk upon mine high places. The gazelle can walk on a sheer cliff with such sure-footedness. It's not afraid of tottering off. It has no fear of heights. It can run up and down these cliff walls. The idea here is the Lord will not only keep you safe and help you to escape, but he will bring you to a higher place than you were before. He'll bring you to a higher place than you were before. He will bring you up on high. Bring you up on high. Praise God. Better than before. He works all things together for our good. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So let me leave you with these few thoughts this morning. Choose joy. In times of trouble, times of adversity, times of discouragement, times of affliction, choose joy. Let me read a verse from Isaiah 61. Listen to this. He speaks in verse 3, to appoint to them that mourn, we've been mourning too long, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I believe, and the Bible declares, that God is glorified in our joy. Our joy in all situations. Look, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Galatians 5. John says, I write these things unto you, little children, that your joy may be full. We should be a joyful people. Not moping around because our circumstances are difficult, or our trials are many, or our afflictions are hard. Choose joy. Throw off by faith right now that spirit of heaviness, that depression that would drag you down, that would bring you into a moroseness, a depression, a discouragement. Cast that thing off. You know the song Brother Vic says, sings, shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands. Look, we have to choose joy. Choose it. Choose joy. The Lord is our joy. Choose to be a joyful people and sing. He gives us songs in the night. In the midst of trial and trouble, lift up your voice. Worship the Lord. Honor him with your confession of faith by singing unto him his praises. Praises that that we owe him. Praises that are his due. Sing. Shout. Like Habakkuk said, shout. Worship. Praise. If it don't come natural to you, do it until it becomes natural. Acquire a taste for it. You know, when you come from some of these dry, reserved religious backgrounds and you get into, you know, people raising their hands and singing and shouting out loud and praising God, it can be a little discomforting for some people. You know, they're just not used to that. Get used to it. In fact, do it. Shout, sing, praise. This is all about the Lord. It's not about you or her or him or that one or that. Don't worry about what they're doing. You sing and shout. Here's what Habakkuk says. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will shout in the God of my salvation. That's what I will do. I choose joy. Acquire a taste for it. I remember years ago, I would not drink coffee for anything. I thought it was terrible. Taste it, and it was disgusting. And I remember people used to tell me, you know, you have to acquire a taste for it. And maybe you do. You know when I started drinking coffee? When I worked many, many years ago at the sugar refinery, and all I had to ride to work was a motorcycle. Rain or shine, summer or winter, I rode a motorcycle to work. And it got cold. And I bought coffee out of a nasty coffee machine. and poured it over my hands because my hands were frozen to the handlebars. And I would buy coffee and literally pour it over my hands so I could move my fingers. And I started drinking it just to warm me up. Now, if you talk about an acquired taste, coffee machine, these old coffees, you put your money in to push the button in the cup. I started drinking coffee then, and I found out it's nice to have a cup of coffee. It's an acquired taste. I must have acquired it. Well, if worship and praise and singing and shouting and joy is an acquired taste, then acquire it, brothers and sisters, acquire it. How do you do it? I just do it, that's all. Amen. And you know, there's one last thing I'd like to share this morning. Instead of praying for a blessing, be the blessing. Be the blessing. Find a way to be the blessing. Every place you look, there are people with needs. Some of them, all they need is a word of encouragement. That's all they need. And it will transform not only their day or their week or their month. Just a word of encouragement can transform their life. Sometimes that's all they need, just a word. Just somebody to say, you know what, brother or sister? The Lord's had you on my heart and I've been praying for you. I don't say it if it's not true, but my point here is be the blessing. Be sensitive to those around you who have real needs. Don't get caught up in your own needs, problems, worries, and discouragements and trials. We got plenty of those, right? We got plenty of those for ourselves. Be the blessing. Find a way to be the blessing to somebody else. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Habakkuk said, I choose joy. Praise God. Let's do that too. Father, I pray this morning that you would encourage every heart. Help us, Lord, to choose joy. And to shake off despair and discouragement and fear and worry and anxiety. Help us to shake these things off and choose joy. Lord, we choose to trust you, knowing that you are our strength. You alone are our strength. We have none in ourselves. Lord, we choose you. We choose joy. We choose to trust you. And we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.